Hi everyone, welcome to this week's episode of Rich Reflects. For this week, I'm going to share with you a little bit of what went down during our recent Rich Reflects get-together that we had. Part of the program was really also carving out time to answer some of the questions that you might have for me through an Ask Me Anything segment. And so this is me in this episode answering some of the questions that those of you who attended in person had for me, submitted, and also upvoted for them online. I hope you enjoy this episode. And as always, if you have had any key takeaways, insights, please feel free to share with me. I'll love to hear from you. Enjoy the episode. Really excited to be here with all of you. I'm going to try to answer as many questions as I can that you have submitted. And I hope today also that we can have a conversation that you don't get to usually hear maybe from interviews online and things like that. Since I'm here, I hope I don't regret saying this, but nothing is out of bounds. So the top question is, you know, upvoted by 34 now people. Okay, what would you do to pick yourself up when bad things happen at work? Okay, how do I stay motivated? I think first and foremost, I learned in my journey never to rely on motivation. If not, there'll be days that I just don't show up for work, for my family, for my kid. Motivation is great, but I think, you know, it's not enough just to rely on it because it really comes and goes, and it's not something that you can really depend to get you going, especially through the toughest days. Instead, I try my best to rely on habits, building small, good habits. I wake up, I resist from, you know, checking my phone immediately because then that will send me into an emotional state where I feel I need to react to everything that I read, whether is it text, Slack messages, emails. So what I do is I try to obviously drink water, brush teeth, everything aside. I do a 5-minute journal of gratitude, you know, and I think for me that really helps rewires my brain to give me the right perspective to start my day. I realized that when you really want to look for a red car, you can really find a lot of red cars out there. And that for me is my way of looking for things to be grateful for. Even in the toughest of times, when I go through, you know, family issues is hard. When it's difficult at home also, I find myself being able to shift my perspective a little bit more easily when I flex my gratitude muscle. And that for me is also the five-minute journal, which is why I collaborated last year with the 5-minute journal themselves, to be able to bring this tool to more of us, to be able to hopefully make a difference in our lives. So for me, it's not just about relying and waiting for motivation to strike, but really it's building habits, showing up, and it's through the little things. If we have to wait for motivation to exercise every day or, you know, on a consistent basis, I think you and I would know that we'll end up nowhere. But it's also just how can we set little habits, right? Go to sleep in my yoga clothes or, you know, things like that. That can help me more easily achieve the little goals that I want. How do I pick myself up when bad things happen? We all have ups and downs. Sushan was the one, you know, I shared this quote quite a lot of times before on social media. When things go well, don't let it get to your head. When things don't go well, don't let it get to your heart. And I think for me, it's still something I'm learning to develop, which is equanimity. I realized early on, being a founder of a business, you know, running the business, especially when I started in the early days, when Love Bonito is doing well, you know, we achieve our targets, we do well, I go on a high, I'm happy, I'm in a good mood, I'm in a good place. And when shit happens, which it does, you know, we don't hit our targets, we fail, we disappointed our customers, and we are hit all the way down, I find myself emotionally going through that roller coaster as well. And at some point, I realized that this is not sustainable. You know, I really need to be able to find a way to have, like she said, right, equilibrium. For me, it's also like find equanimity, where it's okay when things go well, yes, I celebrate, I take it in. And when things don't go well, I mourn, I cry, I grieve, and then I force myself to move on. So I think one thing that really helps me is a few years ago, there was one day I came back very, very defeated. I had a very defeating day at work. I was really upset. I was really down. I was replaying the scene of failure in my mind. And I came home, I slouched on the sofa. Leo, my husband, he was like, oh my God, what's going on with you? I was like, okay, don't bother about me. I'm throwing myself a pity party, you know? I'm just victimizing myself, mourning over what happened, replaying the scene, what I should have said, why did this happen anyways? Some of you might be able to relate. And then what he did next changed everything for me. He just let me be on the sofa, but he took out his phone and he set a timer. And he set a timer of, I can't remember exactly now, but maybe like, okay, 10 minutes. And after 10 minutes, the timer rang and he said, when the timer beeps, you need to pick yourself up and move on. Oh my God, so I knew I had 10 minutes. I quickly replay all the scene, throw the issue of funeral, cry, grieve, be so upset at myself, blame myself, criticize myself, be so judgmental, you know, everything within that 10 minutes. And when the alarm rang, you know, I just reached out, I snoozed a little bit, but, you know, finally, I decided that, okay, you know what, I'm going to pick myself up and I have to move on. It's not just emotionally, mentally picking myself up and moving on, but it's also like physically getting up. And that makes all the difference also. Physically getting up, moving on, diverting my attention to something else and focusing on something else. Why I say this has been transformational for me. Number one, because I realized that now, you know, sometimes when things happen, either I set a timer for 2 hours, depending on how big it is, or 5 minutes, I'll go to a corner in the office or a washroom somewhere, and I will just mourn, cry through at the funeral. I realized that it really works because then I don't sweep it under the carpet. Because I realized that when I sweep things under the carpet or dismiss my negative emotions or feelings, it will creep up and come back up some way or another. And suddenly I find myself triggered and, you know, just having an outburst when it was because it was an issue that I didn't deal with months back. And so doing this, throwing at a funeral then also helped me to move on and then pick myself up and go again. Secondly, also, I think it sets a limit. If I don't set a limit for myself, I can go for days being negatively affected by something, and it's normal, but it's not healthy. Having a time limit actually gives me that boundary that, okay, you know what? If you need more time, you set the timer again. If not, Rach, you promise yourself, you'll move on, you have to move on, let's go. So I think that really helps me. It's a habit that until today I still do. Try it for yourself. I think it's like a muscle, as with anything. You know, building mental resilience, emotional resilience is like a muscle. The more we practice, the better we get at it. So now maybe instead of snoozing 4 times, I just snooze 3 times and I find that it's a bit more helpful. So yes, so if it involves someone and do we involve the person to trash it out? Great question. Because most of the time it involves someone. Whether is it my husband, the people closest at me at work, my brother or whoever, right? For me, I ask myself very honestly also, like, do I want to clarify out of my own ego? Or do I really want to clarify because there really was a misunderstanding? Okay, if there really is a misunderstanding, will this matter in 5 months? Will this matter in 5 years? And that gives me a lot more clarity. The first thing I need to get out of my way is, why do I want so hard to explain myself and be so defensive? Is it an ego issue? A lot of the times, it is for me. And I realize, Rach, you have to get over yourself. It doesn't matter. So I think it's also being very honest with ourselves. And of course, yes, it matters in 5 months. It matters in 5 years. Then by all means, when you're calm, you know, arrange a time and have a mature conversation. But not going all in with your guns ablaze, you know, trying to explain and without listening or understand a different point of view. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of difference. How do you keep your fire burning? When do you realize this is what you want to do for the rest of your life? Wow, this is a very big question. How do I know this is what I want to do for the rest of my life? I don't. When I first co-started Love Bonito 18 years ago now, back then, you know, Bonito Chico, this was really the early days before iPhone existed, before social media, nothing. When we first started, it was just a passion project on a live journal platform. How we really started, and to keep this story as short as I can. I grew up from a middle-income family. My dad was a taxi driver. He went through bankruptcy, then he became a taxi driver. So I wanted to earn extra pocket money. So I thought, okay, you know, together with Velda and Viola, why don't we just sell our pre-love clothes online for extra pocket money? So that's how it started. We ran out of clothes to sell. People kept coming back for more. Back then, people didn't, not like PayLah, PayNow, internet banking, credit card. It was really putting cash in an envelope and then snail mailing it to us. We will receive it 4 days later, check your order, check the amount, count the cash, and then take your order in. Sounds like dinosaur ages ago, but yes, maybe I'm that old.
So that's how it started. And along the way, we ran out of clothes to sell, but people kept coming back for more, and we realized that, wow, okay, there is a demand. There is a novelty of buying something online and receiving it 3-4 days later. So we decided to use the money that we had saved during school term breaks and weekends, we'll go overseas to import clothes to sell. So after a while of doing that, I realized that, you know, okay, there's always something missing from the pieces that I import. Be it the quality, the fit, the design, there was always something wrong. And also back then, you realize that a lot of international brands coming into Asia were catering primarily for Western European women who are just so different from us Asian women. I've always thought that, okay, you know what, my hips are too big, I can never wear pants. Nothing will fit me well. So anyways, that's when we decided to start Love Bonito proper in 2010. Our very first mission was spreading the love of fashion. Over the years, 3 years in, you know, times got really hard, shit got real, it's no more just hee hee ha ha fun times. You realize that you're accountable for so many things, right? The people who choose to journey with you, putting food on the table for them. I had to question myself, is this something I really want to do for the longer term? It wasn't until one day, you know, there was this customer, she wrote in to me and she said, hey Rach, can I come down to share with you a little bit about how Love Bonito has made a difference in my life? Anyways, I invited her down. She was this mid-20s lady. Visibly, her entire left side was immobile. She was walking and talking from her right side. Anyways, I sat her down and she said, you know, Rich, I was going through major brain reconstruction on the left side of my skull. Over the last 6 months, I lost everything, my weight, my partner then, my confidence, everything. But throughout my recovery period, I choose to put on a piece of Love Bonito clothing every day because it gives me the courage to look at myself in the mirror. And then it was like, almost like God telling me, this is why we do what we do. This is why the team at Love Bonito, we pay so much attention to the quality, the fit. We don't scrimp and save on all of that. And that was when it gave me the courage to go on. And also then, our tagline and slogan changed to sharing the love of fashion to empowering confidence through style. I mean, most of you might be able to remember that, but that was when it changed. You know, I realized that I'm passionate about empowering women, and for the last almost 2 decades, it was through fashion. And as I continue to grow and evolve, I'm also asking myself, you know, am I really passionate about fashion? You know, I love fashion, it's great. But I wouldn't say I'm really passionate about it. Neither am I so good. I'm surrounded by colleagues who like really have such a great love and passion and eye for fashion. For half my life, I've been known as the co-founder of Love Bonito. Sometimes people even call me Love Bonito. Who am I beyond Love Bonito, you know? And it's such a intentional journey I've had to go through to dig deep, to be honest with myself. And also, especially over the years, as the business grows and scales, hiring people smarter than me, you know, to do things that I could never do. And then really asking myself, then what's next for you, Rach? You know, and that's why I am still on my discovery journey. And that's why I'm here with all of you, because I think it will always be a process. It's not a destination. How have you evolved in your 20s versus your 30s, right? I'm 36. And in my 20s, that was when, you know, the business had just started since I was 18. In my 20s, I was a lot more insecure, unsure, less self-assured, trying to prove myself, not to myself, but to others. Constantly comparing myself to others, constantly wishing I was something else, constantly wondering and focusing on my lack. You know, why am I not like that? Why am I not like her? You know, why can't I achieve things like her? Why can't I look like her? You know, and I went through my whole 20s going through all of that. And it wasn't until I decided one day, you know, I'm just gonna really understand and get to know myself. What are my strengths? You know, what drives me? What drains me? And really going on the intentional long journey of getting to know myself. Be it through doing the different kinds of personality tests, and I highly recommend Strengths Finders, getting honest feedback from the people around me, surrounding myself not in an echo chamber, but with people who will love me enough to tell me the truth, or Rach, you suck at this, but you know, you can do this. Maybe this is something that you can do that we can't. Speaking to coach, having mentors like Sushan, you know, who can see the good and bad about me. And things like that. So I think being on that journey has helped me also be more secure in who I am. And one of the biggest lessons is learning to admire someone's gifts without questioning my own. And that was huge. You know, Dion, she's here today, and I've told this many times, but you know, when she first ran our very first board meeting, and Dion CEO, she first ran hers, I think it was like maybe 4 years ago. Oh my, throughout the whole meeting, I was almost trembling. And after the meeting, I had to excuse myself to go to a corner to cry. I cried because, and I set a timer. I cried because I was like, my God, this was really in my face. Like, this is what I could never have done, you know. And it made me feel like, really the lesson of admiring someone's gifts without questioning my own. Like, I was envious, and beyond envious, I was jealous. I was like, why could I have never done this? I'm the co-founder, you know, blah, blah, blah. But getting over myself. And firstly, not just dismissing my feelings, but addressing it, talking through. And after I calmed down, I went to Dion. I said, Dion, that was phenomenal. I could never have done it. To my board, I really praised Dion. And I really meant it. And I really felt like this is the beginning of my journey of facing Dion every day. Like, really admiring someone's gifts without questioning my own and working on myself. Like, every time I catch myself again, I'm like, Rach, we are all different. We have different timeline, we have different gifts, we have different calling, we have different purpose. And while, you know, I'm very happy to be able to be so privileged to be able to work and surround myself with people like that, even in Love Bonito, right? How can I also then also tend to my own garden, take care of myself, and not like go and plug up people's sunflower that's growing or things like that. So that's the difference. When I was in my 20s and 30s, I really found, slowly I became more assured. And it's such a journey. And there's so much that we can do together. That's why I also try and share a lot, like, what are the tools that have helped me? What are the books that have helped me reframe my mind? What are the different perspectives I've had? There was one question also, what is one of the biggest life lessons that you have learned? Such a big question, by the way. But I think there were so many. One of them is learning to admire someone's gifts without questioning my own. The other one is really, when I face a situation where I felt like jealousy overcame me, and when I have a major setback, failure, when I feel so much injustice, when I go through a major argument with my husband, I always tell myself, I can choose to be bitter or I can choose to be better. And it's such a fine line. Life is not what happens to us. Life is how we respond to what happens to us. And sometimes we forget that we have so much control over how we respond. It's true, right? There's this quote that says life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you choose to respond. And I think there's nothing wrong, right? My first instance was, okay, I'm jealous, you know, or whatever. For a different instance, I may be angry, upset. And for me, it's just, again, as Sushan said, taking a third-person perspective, observing all my thoughts, my feelings. I don't necessarily have to act on them. Neither am I all of them. So I am not my first feelings that come to me. I am whatever that I choose to act on and respond to. And I think that lesson also has been so helpful for me, especially going through, you know, coaching, which I also shared on my social media very openly. I even had a live coaching session with my coach that has really helped me, given me so much perspective, has also helped me see, you know, the different kinds of limiting beliefs that I have in my life to help me overcome it. And more importantly, right, to be honest with myself, I really believe so much in investing in ourselves. When we fancy a material good or something, why is it that we may not hesitate as much to save up and buy for it or even buy it immediately? But when it comes to investing, like in causes, whatever subscriptions that we can help us learn and grow and be better, we really hesitate, right? But I really believe that the greatest investment that we can make is on ourselves, because it's what we carry with us for the rest of our lives, and it's what we bring with us for the rest of our lives. When we get better, the people around us become better. Everything becomes better. Everything rises and falls on leadership. Whether you're a leader at work, at home, in life, leadership is not a title, it's influence, right? I influence the team around me, I influence my family, I influence my friends, and I really believe that the better we are, the better, you know, the people around us and everything is. Okay, the next one is imposter syndrome. Do I experience imposter syndrome? Are you kidding me? Of course. I think I put myself in situations every day where I experience imposter syndrome, because everyone around me, especially at this stage, is like, wow,
brilliant, smart. How come they can think of it so fast? Or, oh, how come I could never think of that, you know?
And then when I go into something new, I always tell myself, Rich, what makes you think that you can do it? Maybe you're just a one-hit wonder when you started Love Bonito. You know, when I started Rich Reflex, like a podcast and all that, it took so much courage, so much hesitation. You maybe wonder why, you know? But for me, it's scary because I've never done it before. And I also ask myself, why do you think you can do it? Or like, you know, like what makes you think that you can do it well? Two things. First and foremost, I really believe in my ability to learn. Or I choose to tell myself that I believe in my ability to learn. When I first started Love Bonito, there was no one else, no other online stores or online business that we could learn from. We were the pioneers in the online scene. We had to pave the way for ourselves. We had to learn on the go. And time and again, you know, I've proven to myself that if I am willing and I put my heart and head into it, I can do it and I can learn. I may not have all the answers, but I can learn. Whether I read up, I learn, or I surround myself with people smarter than me and learn with them and from them. Like for this project, right, I tell myself, it's okay, I've never done anything in the realm of like media in that sense, you know, but it's okay. Anything I don't know, I can learn, I can ask questions, I can ask people who have gone before me. Secondly, I think, you know, and maybe also to wrap this up, I think so many of us, we look at imposter syndrome as this looming monster. When we feel like we have self-doubts or criticism that come to our mind, we're like, ugh, you know, the monster is here. But I've learned to reframe and look at it like a good friend who keeps me sharp, to remind myself that, yeah, it's true. I can have doubts. It's okay. I recognize them. But here's what I'm going to do about them. Two frameworks that help me is, number one, when I feel so doubtful, so anxious, so scared that it cripples me, I take out a piece of paper, I draw on a line in the middle, and I write the things that I can control and the things that I can't control. And I make sure that the things that I can control, I do it damn well. So that's what I did, you know, when I wanted to embark on this Rich Reflex project. The second framework that helped me is, you know, we all hear so much about goal setting, but no one talks enough about fear setting, which is something that I learned from Tim Ferriss. So fear setting is, okay, Rich, you're going to write down exactly what you're so fearful about when you're going to start on this project. Okay, I'm afraid that, you know, I won't get good speakers, or I'm afraid that I can't, bro. All my fears, I write it down. And then there's the next column, which says, now, what can you do to ensure that you try to overcome the fear as much as possible? Okay, that's fine. I can start by, you know, networking, connection, asking for whatever. I'm just going to address each fear, what I can do to hopefully overcome it. And then the last column is, what is the worst that can happen if your fear comes true? And so many times you realize that the fear monster is so much bigger in our heads than it really is. After I read everything, I realized, okay, it's not so bad. It's tough, but I'm tougher. And so are you. Life is tough, but we are tougher and we can be tougher. And so that's something that also helps me, you know, regain a bit more equilibrium and to come to my senses a bit and not just live with the fear in my head. And actually, when people ask me, what are you fearful about? Actually, I can't really articulate. So doing that fear setting exercise really helps. Yeah, any advice for someone who wants to start a podcast, mentoring, or write a book? My question back to you will be, why do you want to start it? Right? I always believe in starting with why. In fact, this was a book by Simon Sinek 7 years ago that changed everything for me. Why? There are so many people today, they say they want to start this. Great, we all have great ambitions, but why? You know, I think you need to be convicted in your why, because when you really know your why, you can get through any what and how. And so for me, it took me like one whole year to clarify my why. You know, like, why do I want to start this? Why? What is it for? You know, why? And just be very honest with myself and distill it all the way down to its core essence. So many of us, we have heard about Jim Collins and his hedgehog concept. He came up with a personal hedgehog concept, which basically is, what is our calling in life? And this is an age-old question that we all, maybe most of us, at some point of our lives have wondered. Firstly, I believe that we're all on this earth for a very special reason and purpose. There are certain things that God left out in me, but there are certain things that He put in me. And I think, you know, the greatest expression of our lives is to be able to use our strengths and giftings to serve the people around us. So, in Jim Collins' hedgehog concept, which is part of my journey of distilling my why, here at the intersection of three circles, is our personal hedgehog concept. So the first one is, what are you so passionate about? And he defines it obviously as something that you would do even for free, that you would do even though you're so tired, you know, you will wake up and you will go again, you're just so passionate about it. Number two, what are you genetically encoded to do? Not just what you're good at. And I can even talk about a whole segment of zone of genius versus zone of excellence. But he talked about what are you genetically encoded to do? That you yourself, you're hardwired, your construct, your psychology, everything you've been encoded to do a certain something. What is it? So what are you passionate about? What are you genetically encoded to you? Which is also something that you can do far better than most people. You know, you have a natural inclination to it. And it's so much more, it's so much deeper than just what we're good at. And then the last one is, what drives your economic engine? What can also help us put food on the table at the end of the day? You know, and I think it's the intersection of these three at the end of the day that I feel I want to be on my journey to uncover and to find out and to hopefully use it to serve the world. So, yes.
Thank you everyone for joining me for this week's episode. I hope that you enjoyed it and I hope that it was helpful to you. Feel free to let me know if there's anything else that you want to see more of, hear more of. And as always, I would really appreciate if you could like, share, and spread this to your friends if this has been helpful to you. I'll see you next week for more. Bye!